Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Chavav, the 26th chapter of the first book of Divrei Hayamim. We're coming towards the end of Divrei Hayamim, and remember we're in the section now where David HaMelech is setting up the systems and the roles of the different people to look after the Beis HaMikdash in anticipation of Shlomo HaMelech building the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, they're operating in some semblance around the Mishkan, but this is going to be more prevalent when it comes to how they're going to operate in the Beis HaMikdash. So we hear about the following situation. We have 32 psukim, and we hear about mainly the divisions of the gatekeeper Leviim, the Sho'arim. So the first 13 psukim, Aleph to Yud Gimel, tell us about three different families who are tasked with responsibility of Sho'arim, or being gatekeepers. So we hear primarily about, as we heard about in Perek Chav Gimel, 4,000 Leviim who are gatekeepers. This section gives us the details of that group. So it's broken down into 24 groups. There's 24 leaders. And the general breakdown is from the family of Asaph, his son Koreh, his son Meshelemiyahu. We have 7 heads from the house of Oved Edom. We have 13 leaders or heads. And from Merari, the family of Chosa, we have 4 heads. That's what we hear about. What is interesting is that we hear a few details about these Leviim interdispersed among the council. For instance, in Pasuk Hey, we hear about Oved Edom is blessed. Ki berachoi Elohim. What does that mean? So the Metzudas points out, since Oved Edom HaGitzi was the Levi who David HaMelech tasked with holding and looking after the Aaron after the death of Uzzah, and he had it in his house for a number of months, his house was blessed. That blessing happened in many forms, and one of them was that he had many children. So if you look in Pasuk Ches in this parak, you will see that he has 62 children. And if you follow up with the next Pasuk, where it talks about Meshelemiyahu, it describes how he only had 18 children. Those two are put there to contrast, as the Malbim explains, to show you that the unnatural amount of children that Oved Edom had was as a function of his looking after the Aaron. And this also makes a lot of sense why David HaMelech would have chosen Oved Edom HaGitzi, because he was a Sho'er. That means to say he was a gatekeeper, Levi. He was in charge of looking after the upkeep of the building. This makes a lot of sense. We now hear about, from Sukkim Yudal to Yutes, the division of the gatekeeper Leviim by the Goral. And similarly to, as we've seen, the Leviim in general, and the Kohanim, and the Leviim who are Meshorerim, who are the singers, divided into 24 groups, there is a little bit of a difference when it comes to this one. And when it comes to this division of the 24 divisions of the Mishmaros, we also hear about directions. So we're going to hear about the east, the north, the south, and the west. So we hear about Shelemiahu is in the east. We hear about Zechariah, his son, is in the north. We hear about Oved Edom and his sons are in the south. And in the west are Shupim and Chosa. Now, the Mephoshim do struggle to jiggle this around a little bit because the numbers don't add up for the amount of watches per section. So you have to work out how that works out exactly, who was left over and pushed over to the other side. That's the Mephoshim spent a bit of time on. What is also interesting is we hear about the number of people or the number of watches per side. So we hear about 6 on the easterly side, 4 on the north. We have 4 watches on the south and for the vestibules, 2 and 2. And then we have on the west side, we have along the colonnade, we have 2 watches and 4 along the causeway. So just it's a complex division of how many people are around at this point in time, and how many people are guarding these different gates and in charge of, are responsible for ensuring the posterity of the Kedusha. A few words to note in the description over here, which are important. The one of the areas that is guarded is the base Ha'asopim, which is in Pasuk Tesvav. The Mitzvah says, what does that mean? It's a name based on the norms then. So just it's a place, it's an entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was called Beis HaAsopim based on then. The Radak points out that it was a protruding house in the southern perimeter, so it sort of stuck out. Another word also to notice is the Shar HaShalachas, which is in Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Malbim explains that this was from the word Mishlach, or Shaleches, to throw out, like the Shar HaAshpot. This was the gate which was used for garbage disposal. Similarly, we hear about the Parabar in Pasuk Yudches, which is a gate which dust was used to throw out the dust, which was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, another gateway or access to the Beis HaMikdash, which is used. We also hear about the Mesilah or Mesilah HaOleh, which are the pathways leading into the Beis HaMikdash. Those are also access points which are guarded. It's also interesting to note the Mefarshim deal with this, that if you look at the Mishnah, the Meseches Midos and Meseches Tamid, there's a large discussion because it seems that 21 of the gates or access points were guarded by Leviim, but 3 were guarded by Kohanim. So the Mefarshim here and on the Mishnah try to work together and understand how it seems from these Pesukim that all 24 spots were taken by Leviim. But nonetheless, the Mishnah seem to say that actually 3 of those are really Kohanim, the innermost guarding spots or gates that are being looked after. And there's a lot of details. That, of course, the Mishnah is referring to the second base of Midrash, is referring to the first base of Midrash, but there's a lot to be discussed over here. Do the numbers actually add up? So Ralbag points out that doing the counting of how many Leviim are involved on a weekly basis, we have 168 Leviim on guard duty, essentially, for per week, with 24 mishmaros, because this is being cycled on a 24-week basis. The 24 mishmaros will give you a total of 4,032. Now, if we remember the count of the Shoarim, the gatekeeping Leviim in Perek Chof Gimel, there were really 4,000. So it's very close. So Ralbag says Loidak, meaning that those are general numbers over there. It really was 4,032, at least at this point in time. The Rambam says, well, the 24 heads, then the leaders were not counted in the count of the 4,032, which means to say it's really shy, just really a few. So it's much smaller number. We get to the next part of the parak. We hear about the Leviim in charge of tax collections and money. Ala Oitzros, on the chambers of money. So we hear from Pasuk Chof to Chof Ches about them. And we hear about these Leviim who primarily come from Amram and Moshe Rabbeinu, that section of the Leviim. And what is interesting about this section is that while they're not included elsewhere, meaning we don't hear about these Leviim in charge of the finances mentioned in Perek Chof Gimel at all. So the Malbim suggests that in fact they are a subsection of the Sha'arim. They're a subsection of those gatekeeping Leviim, because it makes sense. Part of keeping the Beis HaMikdash intact is just physically and also financially. And therefore they are a subsection, which the four leaders that we hear about now also could contribute to the numbers of the Sha'arim who are left out in Perek Chof Gimel's count of 4,000. One interesting individual we hear about in this count is a person by the name of Shavuel ben Gershom, in Pasuk Chav Dalet, who is the grandson of Moshe. So it's interesting, the Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Kuf Yud, Amud Aleph, actually talks about the very fascinating and mysterious character at the end of Sefer Shoftim, whose name is Yohanan ben Gershom ben Moshe. If you read Tanakh, it's actually ben Menashe, but the Nun is halfway up the line to indicate that really he is the son of Moshe, the grandson of Moshe, but he's acting like Menashe, the evil king of Yehuda. And the reason is because he becomes a priest for Shrine of Avodah Zorah, of Pesel Micha. And ultimately, the Gemara says that David HaMelech was able to reappropriate him. He realized the man was not doing it for ideological reasons, but for financial reasons, and he was able to reappropriate him to be one of his gizborim, one of the tax collectors in his Beis HaMikdash. And the reason he was called Shavuel was because he was Shav B'chol Lev. He returned with all his heart, and ultimately was able to use his interest in money for a good purpose. We also hear at the end of this section about the amount of money that was contributed by Shmuel Hanavi and Shaul and Avner and Yoav, which means say all the conquests which they were successful at, they took some of that money and put it into the Oitzreis as part of the fund for the Beis HaMikdash as well, just to appreciate the forward thinking of all these great leaders. And finally, the parak closes with the Shoftim and Shodrim of the Leviim, which is from Sukkim Choftes to Lamin Beis. In this section, we hear about remembering the 6,000 Leviim who act as judges and policemen. And here we hear in greater depth about the names and who they are. They primarily come from Kahas, from Yitzhar, and Chevron. Those are two of Kahas's sons. So we have Chashavyahu and his family with 1,700 on the West Bank jurisdiction. And we hear about Yiriyah and his family with 2,700 on the East Bank section. What is interesting is if you look at Pasuk Choftes, it describes their work as Melocha Hachitzona Al Yisrael, the external work. What does this mean? The Mitzuras points out that really their work was for the Beis HaMikdash, but they weren't in the Beis HaMikdash like the rest of the Leviim. So their work was getting the materials necessary for the Beis HaMikdash, or as the Ralbag says, collecting the Machzis HaShekel, the taxes to support the Beis HaMikdash, but they were not operating on the temple precinct. It is interesting as well, the Ralbag points out that this could also mean that they were judges, and therefore they were judges for Israel, and that means to say that they obviously obviously were not in the Beis Hamikdash. They would be in their jurisdictions of their different judgment jurisdictions around Israel as a whole. You count up, you have 27 and 1700 mentioned here. That does not make the total 6,000. So the Malbim points out that the members of the family of Uziel are not mentioned here in great numbers, but that also contributes to the number 6,000 of these particular Levim. And finally, this completes David HaMelech's internal policy, because up till now we've heard about David HaMelech's wars. We hear a lot about that in Sefer Shmuel, but now we hear about, as we learn in the end of Perek Yud Ches in Divrei Yamim, we hear about David Ali Kol Yisrael, Vayhi Oseh Mishpat Utzdakah L'Cholamoy. He did justice and righteousness for all of Israel. That refers to his internal policy that he was able to set up here. And later on in Divrei Yamim Beis, Perek Ches, we hear about how Shlomo HaMelech takes all these systems, all these enterprises, all these structures that his father set up, and all these mishmaros, and he used them for the Beis HaMikdash. In an incredible way, Hasharim, the Shar of Shar V'Shar, Kichein Mitzvahs David Yisho Elokim. That means to say that he was able to take all of the setup that David HaMelech was set up and use it. And this is ultimately David HaMelech's dream. He wasn't able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but he was able to set up all the structures for the Beis HaMikdash, which Shlomo HaMelech adopted. With this, we close Perek Chav Vav. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.